Hey, fam. Hey, y'all. Can y'all hear me? Did I do it wrong? Can't hear me. Now. Oh. Hey. Hey, y'all. Y'all doing all right? I love my True Life fam. Hey, man, I'm so grateful to be here with you all tonight, back again. And so I'm just grateful to Jesus that he is risen. Can we still celebrate the resurrection? Is that? Yeah, I think that's good. And so, man, I'm really excited to bring the word to you tonight. Pastor Mike hit me up and was like, hey, what you doing? Anything you want me to be doing, Mike. So I'm so grateful for Pastor Mike. I want to give honor to your pastor. I got to do that because I'm a black preacher and I got to give honor to the pastor of the house. So let's give it up for your pastor, even though he's not here. All right. All right. And so today I want to share a message with you. I'm really excited to share it with you called I Got Power. I've got the power. I'll be in Acts chapter 1. One simple verse for you tonight. Acts chapter 1, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Father, I pray, God, that you would bless your word tonight. God, I pray, God, that you would speak through me. God, I pray, God, that your people might hear from you tonight, God. And I pray, God, that your people would be blessed, Father, by these words of yours. God, these aren't my words, these are your words. And so, Father, I pray, God, that you would speak through me tonight. God, I pray that the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, my Lord, my strength, and my Redeemer, in whom I place all my trust. And everybody say amen. Amen. In 1990, anybody was born in 1990 in this room? I don't know. It's kind of, all right, there it is. 1990. In 1990, there was a group by the name of Snap, and they released an album titled World Power. And on this album, they released a song, a dance record, that would grab a hold of the culture. The video starts out really weird. It's like this weird imagery of a Russian teleprompter giving a speech in Russian, but it's abruptly cut off by the smooth, melodic sound declaring, I've got the power. And this song, as it is announced, the person who's leading the song, they go on to pronounce in the song that even in the midst of heaviness, you might know the song, you might have heard it a little bit, it says it's getting kind of heavy. It's getting, I'm in the wrong room. It's getting kind of heavy. I'm dating myself. It's okay. But as he goes on to continue to sing the song, he says, I've got the power. He says, you could break my heart. You could break my heart apart, but I've got the power. And I'm going to submit to you tonight that even when it gets heavy, you can handle it because the Holy Spirit is with you. I want to submit to you tonight from the Word of God that even when it gets heavy and when it gets tough to handle, you can deal with it because you've got the power. See, the Holy Spirit comes to live within us when we trust in Jesus as our Savior. He provides the Christian with power for living, understanding spiritual truth, guidance, and doing what is right. So spiritual gifts are built within the Holy Spirit as it's provided for us, but God has ultimately provided us with a helper. And as the Holy Spirit is a helper to us, when we place our faith in Jesus at the moment that we're born again, we enter into this developmental phase of our faith, where Christ does not let a hold of us simply because we said a prayer one time a long time ago, but he holds on to us and he gives us his Holy Spirit to teach us, to guide us, to care for us, to provide for us, and to empower us. And so as we're looking at this, if you place some word association with the word power, you might hear certain things like Marvel movies. You might hear about the Hulk. Who is really powerful and he likes to smash things. And you might hear about Superman. You might hear about those different things when you think of the word power. But when you think about the word power in this passage, it comes from a Greek word, dunamis, which means the mighty strength and power. And so I want to help us tonight to understand what this power and what this strength is all about. I want to help us to know what this power and this strength is for, because ultimately Jesus is giving these words to his disciples within the context of the resurrection. And so after he has resurrected from the grave, he spends a lot of time with his disciples giving many proofs of his resurrection, as Luke tells us in Acts chapter 1. And then he goes on to tell those disciples who have been following him and are looking for him. He tells them, he says, listen, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And as we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, as we look at it as believers, we have to understand this idea that as Christ has sent us a helper and a counselor, he's done that because he's got something that he wants us to do. He's done that because he wants to develop us and shape us into who he is calling us to be and who is leading us to be. And so he gives us this Spirit, this Holy Spirit, and along with it, he says, here, there are some fruits, that there's some fruit that comes along with this Spirit. There's love that comes along with this Spirit. There's joy that comes along with this Spirit. There's peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And as we look at that fruit that comes from this Spirit, we have to really acknowledge that in this time and age, in this day, we really need the power of God in order to love people well. Maybe I'm talking about me. We need the power of God in order to have joy in this life. Inflation is really high and it costs a lot of money to do a whole lot of things. So you need some joy, but you need the power of God. You need the power of God in order to have peace in this life. There's war all around us. There's so many things going on in our lives. And you need the power of God in order to be patient. I thought I was talking to myself, but I had some brothers and sisters who struggle with patience too. So I'm glad to hear that. Kindness and goodness, all of these things, we need the power of God in order to navigate them. Now, you might be thinking, as I'm talking to you, like, all this talk about power and all this talk about the Holy Spirit, how do we get to this? How do we get in the right place for this? How do we get to the place where we've got the power? Well, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he tells us, he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. I love this idea here where he says, but. If we're going to understand that, we got to understand a little bit about the context of which he's telling us this. He's saying, because they were looking for Jesus even after he had raised up from the dead. Like, it's confusing to me that even after Jesus predicted his own death and his resurrection and told them, hey guys, this is what I'm going to do, and this is how I'm going to establish the kingdom, they're asking him weird questions like, is now the time that you're going to establish the kingdom? Like, is now the time that you're going to vanquish Rome? Is now the time that you're going to do the things that will make our life easier? Is now the time that you're going to do the things that will allow me to live the kind of life that I prefer to live? Is now the time that you're going to do these things? And Jesus is like, nah, that's not it. that's not it at all. Here's what I need to tell you. He says that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power. And this power, I love this idea here. This idea, power is about having the endurance to withstand whatever circumstances life might throw at you. Power is about having the ability to stand, having the ability to endure and navigate this life regardless of what comes your way. So he tells them, he says, now's not the time that I'm going to come and establish the kingdom. There's going to be a time I'm going to come back on a white horse and I'm going to have a tattoo on my leg and all that stuff like that. And I'm going to have fire coming out of my eyes and all that stuff's going to happen. But now is the time where you get to display my works here on the earth. He says, but that's not going to happen until you receive power. He says that you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And I love how he's helping them to navigate this. And he's saying to them, because he ultimately told them, he says, listen, it's not even for you to know the time and periods by which God is going to do the things that he said he was going to do. It's not for your mind to be able to grasp, or it's not for you to be able to try to understand or predict what God is going to do. He says, that's not within your authority. That's within the authority of God. And because of that, he says, that's okay. I know they're frustrated by that, and you might be a little confused by that. He says, but when the Holy Spirit, he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. I love this idea. One of my professors, he would say, anytime you see a but in the scripture, you can ask, what's the but for? But I like to say something a little better. There's this guy, I'm going to date myself really bad here. There's this guy by the name of Sir Mix-a-Lot. And he said, I like big butts and I cannot lie. And I like big butts, but I like these types of big butts. Because these kind of big butts, they give you power. Come on. These kind of big butts help you to understand what God is really trying to imply to you. And so when you see this here, when you see a big butt in the scripture, come on, y'all, you got to believe that what's about to be said is going to be something that's going to bless your life. Kind of like a, never mind. Listen. These Jewish believers, they were concerned about the political position of power for their marginalized people group. And I'm going to submit to you that it might look like you're down and out, but it might look like you're oppressed and weak, but it might look like you're without a solution or without an answer, but it might look like you don't have any power or you don't have any authority to change your situation, but see, power is knowing that you will, even when everything around you says that you won't. He says, but you will receive power. And I want us to understand that if you are with the Lord, then you have to know that you will. If you are with the Lord, then you have to know that you will. See, one of the best tricks that the enemy tries to use is to make us to believe that we are powerless when it comes to our circumstances. He tries to make us believe that prayer is a passive position. He tries to make us believe that if we were to really dig down and invest in our prayer lives and invest in our spiritual lives, that that is a passive position that doesn't ultimately lead to anything. But I'm here to tell you that if you invest in your spiritual life, if you invest in your prayer life, then you are tapping into the power that is available to you. See, his greatest trick is to try to teach you or try to make you believe that you're powerless when it comes to your circumstances. He tries to make you believe that the relationship will always be marked by brokenness. He tries to make you believe that the addiction will always have control over you. He tries to make you believe that that wayward child will never overcome their season of rebellion. But if you know that God has given you power to overcome brokenness, you can say, I will. See, if you know that God has given you power to overcome your circumstances and power to overcome your difficulty, you can believe, as the scripture says, that you're going to receive the power. And I love this idea that he says that we will receive power. This idea, it comes from this beautiful Greek word, which means to claim something. God is calling us to claim what is already ours in any season of life. Hear me. Ephesians chapter 1 says that we have been given every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. That's not some future tense where you're going to receive the things that you need. He's saying to us that you have every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus right here and right now. And so as you look at this, here's what this idea Jesus is saying. He says, listen, you're going to receive power. Here's what he's telling us. He's saying that I need you to lay claim to the power that's been made available to you upon the day of your belief. I need you to lay claim to the power. I need you to lay hold of this power that was delivered to you when the Holy Spirit was imparted to you on the day that you believe. See, God is calling us to claim what is already belongs to us. And power, hear this, is not longing for what others have because you know how to claim what's yours. See, we live in a day and age where we constantly long for what other people have. That's what social media is all about. We get on there and we start looking and we start seeing all the good stuff that they're doing. We see all the trips that they're going on and we see all the stuff that's happening with them and we see all the gender reveals and all these kinds of things that are going on. And we can long for something that other people have. But Jesus is saying, no, I want you to long for what belongs to you. I want you to lay hold of and lay claim to the power that belongs to you. One of my favorite gospel songs is by this guy named Pastor Mike Jr. He says, I got it, you got it, you got it, we got it, we got it, it's already mine. And this idea here, I think he's speaking from the text because Matthew 7 and 8 says that for everyone who asks, they receive. To the one who seeks, they will find. And to the one who knocks, the door is going to be open to them. I love football, and I used to play football, and I was a defensive end. Anybody know what a defensive end is? No, okay. I'm doing great with the analogies tonight. Like, I'm knocking it out of the park. But I was a defensive end. A defensive end is a person who goes to get the quarterback, okay? When he snaps the ball, they go get him. But sometimes I got to play tight end. They would call me up. And tight ends, what they usually do is they'll block for the quarterback, make sure nobody gets to him. But sometimes they would function as a receiver. A receiver is an individual who has been placed in a position to catch the ball when it is thrown to them. And power is placing yourself in the right position to receive what God has for you. See, power is placing yourself in the right position so that you can receive what God has for you. Jesus says this. He says, you will receive the best thing that I have to give you when you position yourself. And most of us aren't walking in power and aren't walking in the power that God wants to give to us simply because we are not properly positioned. See, some of us are still chasing after people that God told us to let go of. Some of us are still chasing after causes that God told us were not our causes in the first place. Some of us are still holding on to pain that God has told us we need to move on from. And so until you properly position yourself, you'll never be able to receive the power that God wants to impart to you. And if we're going to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, here's the ultimate position that we must take. We must take the position of a servant. Matthew 10, 8, he says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out those. Freely you receive and freely you will give. But I love that he tells them that they're going to receive power. He doesn't tell them that they're going to receive possessions. He doesn't tell them that they're going to receive popularity. And for many of us, we'd substitute power for popularity right now. If everybody could just know our name, if our Instagram accounts could be at 100 million, billion, zillion, thousand people knowing us, we would be all right. But I don't know about you, but I'm just at a stage in my walk with Jesus where I want power. I'm at a place in my walk with Jesus where Jesus, you could, the possessions is fine. I don't want to keep asking you for stuff. I want to ask him for more power. I'm at a place in my life where I'm tired of asking Jesus for people to know my name. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of asking Jesus for people to know my church. I'm tired of that. I want power. I want God to impart power unto me so that I can do what he has called me to do, and that is to be a witness to the ends of the earth. And if you want power as well, then I'm talking to you tonight, because here's what this idea is, that the idea of power that he's talking about this idea of inherent power. Meaning that all it takes is a little spark in order to release the strength and abundance that is available to you. Sometimes when you get into a certain place in your faith, sometimes all you need is a little spark. Sometimes you need people to build a whole fire pit and to help light the fire of your faith. But sometimes when you're in Christ, all you need is a little spark. And when you're pursuing after the power of God, all you need is a little bit of a spark to get you going, because he's saying that after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you're going to receive power from me. And this idea is that the people of God, I want to submit to you that some of the fires in our lives are there to spark the dynamic power of God in our lives. So you thought you were going through a trial because the devil didn't like you. You thought you were going through a trial because the enemy was after you. You thought you were going through a trial because you got a lot of ops. And you got a lot of haters and all that different kind of stuff. But that's not the reality. The reality is that the fire that's in your life right now is God trying to ignite something in you. See, power is this idea that we have the potential. We have the potential to go further than we think we actually can. See, what if God wanted to use True Life Church to expand the boundaries of the kingdom all throughout the state of Delaware? What if God wanted to use True Life Church to properly help people to understand who Jesus is all the way down to the beaches? What if God wanted to use True Life Church to be a beacon of hope to every place where you find yourself? What if God wanted to use you to be a source of light and to be a witness in every place that you go? What if God wanted to use you? And that, you might say that sounds real deep, but how's all that possible? Well, Ephesians 1:20 tells us, he says that God exercised his power in Christ by raising him from the dead. And then Romans 8:11 goes on to tell us that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, come on, is living on the inside of you. So if the same resurrection power that was available on Sunday is available on Wednesday, the same resurrection power that allowed Jesus to get up from the grave and wrap up his grave clothes and place them onto the headstone, if the same power that raised Jesus from the dead was active in the resurrection, that same power is available in you today. And so, meaning, God wants to accomplish something through you that's going to shake up the whole world. God wants to do something through you that will roll stones away. And see, and you might be saying, that's not me. But listen, he says in Matthew 25, he says, to one he gave 5 talents, the other he gave 2, and to another one he gave 1, depending on their ability. And then he sent them on the journey immediately. There's no holding on until I get to a certain place. No, God is saying to you tonight, he's saying, listen, you will be my witness to the ends of the earth. And not only that, now unto him who was able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all you could ask or even think, according, hear this, to the power that is at work within us. And so what Jesus is saying is this, is that power is about having a resurrection mentality in your heart. It is about having a mentality in your heart that God, who raised Jesus from the dead, is empowering you tonight to do what he's called you to do. Your house might be filled with envy all week long, and you want his power to show up. The relationship might be filled with strife all week long, and you just want his power to show up. Most of us want power, but we haven't accessed the source of power. And Jesus says, you will have power when. Jesus didn't say you'll have power whenever. He says you'll have power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And power is about knowing how to press in to win. See, you got to know when to press into God. You got to know when to press into his word. And you got to know when to press into prayer. See, he says that you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And this idea here, it carries this notion for us that the overall work of the Holy Spirit is essential for the Christian life. The work of the Holy Spirit is essential for the Christian life. And it is a continuous process of growth and transformation that we must apply to our lives. See, power isn't some one-time thing. Power is knowing how to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. See, some of us are devoid of power simply because we are consistently walking in our flesh. And if we'll be honest, we'll tell the truth that the reason why I haven't obtained the power, the reason why I haven't been able to walk in the power of God in my relationships, the reason why I haven't been able to walk in the power of God on my job, the reason why I haven't been able to walk in the power of God with my family is simply because I love walking in the flesh. You know, we'll say, at least where I'm from, they say, hey, watch your mouth, because I'll put my Holy Spirit to the side. And you'll catch these hands. Like, come on, guys. Like, you're going to take the third person of the triune God and pick him up and move him over here. That's weird. But we love to walk in the flesh. We do. We'll be honest. There's some parts of our flesh that we hold on to like this, just in case somebody step out of line. just in case. Listen, it's in case of emergencies. Don't worry about it. It's fine. Just in case. Just watch yourself. That's all. Be patient and kind and good, and then I won't have to unleash this on you. Self-control, what? Don't worry about that. I got you. But it says that after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, this idea of coming upon you is this idea that the Holy Spirit has to influence you at every turn. If you're going to have power, then the Holy Spirit's influence has to be over your conduct, your conversation, and even over your conscience. See, we want the Holy Spirit to help us do miracles. What about the miracle that needs to happen in your mind? What about the miracle that needs to happen in your mouth? Because some of us, our mouths are crazy. They just are. And we want the Holy Spirit's power to help us to see revival. But we won't revive these fruits of the Spirit with our children. Like, we got to figure it out. Power, if you're going to get to it, here's you got to understand. If the Holy Spirit is going to be at work in your life, the old you has to die. And the new you has to live. And so many times, the scripture talks about it like this. It talks about putting off the old man and putting on the new man. And so when the old me would have fought you, the new me has power. When the old me would have cussed you out, the new me, I got power. When the old me would have let my attitude burn a hole in you for a little while, the new me has power. And if the Holy Spirit, if you want the Holy Spirit to be at work in your life, if you want the Holy Spirit to have control and to overtake you, because that's what this idea is that the Holy Spirit will overtake you, then you've got to allow the power of the Holy Spirit to work. See, we've got power simply because the power has overtaken us. And here's why the power of the Holy Spirit can overtake us is because that power comes from God. Psalm 62 and 11, he says, once God has spoken this, but twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God. He says in Daniel chapter 2, verse 20, he says, may the name of God be praised forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to God. In 2 Corinthians 4:7, he says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. And so when we look at this idea, we've got to realize that the power that we need, the power that we want to be available to us, it comes from God. We can't try to manufacture some power that doesn't come from God. The power that we need, the power that we need to transform this age, the power that we need to be the witnesses that Jesus wants us to be, that power comes from him. Anytime we try to manufacture power, we're playing on shaky ground. Here's one thing I want to give to you. It's the way that you get power. Sometimes I started out, my first idea was that you got to be in the right position. Now I want to say to you that you got to be in the right proximity as well. See, Mark chapter 5 tells the story of a woman who had an issue. She had challenge. Mark chapter 5, verse 30, he says that immediately Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. And he turned around to the crowds and he said, who touched my clothes? And they looked at Jesus strange because there was a lot of people around. And they're like, Jesus, everybody's touching you. What are you talking about? And Jesus was like, nah, this touch was different. He says, because I felt power go out from me. And this idea I want to relate to you is that proximity is so important. See, we can have these notions in our mind that just because we're following with the crowds, and we might even have our hands on some things that look like Jesus, we might have our hands and touch some of the things that Jesus likes, we might be near Jesus and touch him as he passes by. But there is a touch with Jesus that will allow power to come out from him. And so if you're going to get in right proximity, we know Jesus is his name is highly sought after today, whether it's for good or for bad. Everybody's got something to say about Jesus. But when this woman touched Jesus, he says that power went out from him. Now, this idea is not that power was taken from Jesus when she touched him. It's that power was issued to her when she touched him. And when we get close enough to Jesus, he will issue power to us. When someone takes something from you, you lose it. But when you issue something to someone, you gain something back. And Jesus is showing us here that power is always connected to our proximity with him. And if you're going to gain power, then you got to learn how to actually get in proximity with Jesus, because power has to be issued to you by Jesus. And so this idea here, he tells us, he says, here's the first step to get power. He says, in Psalm 119, he says, your word have I hid in my heart, that I will not sin against you. If you're going to touch Jesus, then you've got to make sure that you have his word hidden in your heart. This idea of having his word hidden in your heart, make sure that you're connected to the life and reality of Jesus, that you're connected to the person and work of Jesus. He's all throughout this book. He's all throughout the scriptures. Every page speaks of him. And so when you get to looking at the word, you'll spend time in the word and study of the word so that you can touch Jesus. Worship, singing praises to him, praying, fasting, those kinds of things, leading lifestyles like that, it leads you to a place where you're in the right proximity to be able to touch Jesus. Serving, your personal work and of digging deep and doing reflection and serving others, because you serve God by serving others. All of those things matter. And then ultimately having communion with brothers and sisters, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as is the practice of some, but you've got to be in a position where you're able to touch Jesus. Because touching Jesus is the flame that will spark the fire that will activate his power in your life. It's not enough to touch him every now and then. It's not enough for you to touch him every once in a while. The power that you need is only found in your ability and willingness to come in proximity with Jesus often and regular. So the language that's used here suggests that when this woman touched him, the language used there is that she fastened to him. She adhered to him. And many of us, we want to fly by touch of Jesus. We want Jesus to come and touch us every now and then. We just want him to, boop, make us feel better. We want him to, boop, solve this problem. We want him to, boop, fix our husband. We want him to do these simple things. I was seeing if y'all was in the room still. We want him to fix these little things, right? We want him to do things for us. But Jesus is saying, bless you. Jesus is saying that the ones who adhere to him, those are the ones who get power. He said, if you abide in me, I will abide in you. And so tonight, I just want to offer you that opportunity to make a decision to have Jesus, not just somebody who flybys, who flies by, gives you a little jolt every now and then, gives you a little boost when you need it, but allow Jesus to be the flame that sparks all of your life. And that happens when you adhere to him, when you connect to him. When you allow Jesus' life to draw you close to him. And so you might be here tonight and you've been looking for Jesus in a different way. Like you've been longing for Jesus to do something different in your life. He's here. And he wants you to experience him in a real powerful way. See, power is always tied to the resurrection. Always. Without the resurrection, the power that we believe in would be nothing. But because of Jesus and what he has done for you, for me, you can receive power that you need. So you just have to trust him. That's it. Trust him. Believe in him. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You can be saved. And then begin the lifelong process of going deeper with Jesus. So that you too can proclaim, I've got the power. I've got the power. So Father, I pray, God, for anyone under the sound of my voice who is in need of your power today. Father, I pray that they might hear from you and know that you are near to them. As they get in the right proximity, I pray that their hearts would know which power to pursue. Because there are many things that offer power to us. But we need the Holy Spirit's power to live the kind of life that you want us to live, to be the people that you want us to be, to be the witnesses that you want us to be. And so, Jesus, I pray, God, that anyone who's here tonight listening, God, that doesn't know you, God, I pray that they would make a decision to enter into a life-giving relationship with you. Connect to a Bible-believing church and have their lives transformed. Jesus, we know that that is only possible by the power of your Holy Spirit. And so, Jesus, I asked by your Spirit that you will bless your people tonight. God, I pray that they would have a commitment to pursue the power of God in their lives. Jesus, I pray that you would do a mighty work through the power of your resurrection, by the power of your Spirit. And it's in the matchless name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. God bless you.